Now, in fact, I am the counselor, the founder, and the creator of the Cape Muslim Congress, which is an independent and the only independent community-based political party in Cape Town and in the Western Cape. It's an independent, community-based political party with a representation in the city of Cape Town that is not aligned to any of the big guns. Not aligned to the DA, not aligned to the ANC. In fact, I'm the guy that antagonizes them. I'm the guy that sits there and says, listen, this is what you're doing, and that's wrong. I'm the guy that is Mr. Ethical. I'm the guy that's there because of 25 years in local government and 20 years as a councillor. My skills and my experience and my knowledge and my education has been recognized, and I've been given the position by the vast majority of councillors, not once, but twice. I think I'm going for 10 years now.
Right.
And nobody's had that record. We have the best Municipal Public Accounts Committee impact in the whole country. And why can I say that with absolute certainty? Because the rest of the country comes and learns from us. All the other provinces makes application to our impact to come and learn from us. And as the chairperson of the Municipal Public Accounts Committee, that makes me the best chairperson of impact in the whole country. And how do we say that? With absolute certainty. Since I've been the chairperson of impact, we've got clean audits for the city of Cape Town 8 years in a row. Now, that would make me a target by any person's standard, because this guy is too clean, he's too honest, he's too good, we need to take him down. And that's what's going on here.
So what would motivate, why would Mr. Pascoe, for example, and unfortunately we were not able to get him to come onto the show, we're still trying to get hold of him, want to start flinging mud? I'll describe it as that. Why would he start throwing mud up in the air?
From what I understand, look, he was rejected by the DA and he was rejected by the ANC. And now, from what I understand, this is my the information I have at hand, he's now found a political home inside Good. He's the election manager. He's got something to do with that. That's what I heard from the political grapevine. So what's happening here is that, look, let's start throwing mud early, 2 years before an election, because the election is only in 2027. And if we can dirty and destroy Councillor Yahya Adams of the Cape Muslim Congress long before the vote, then the people would say, as ordinary people do, but this man is not trustworthy. And that is the agenda that they want to create long before an election. And what I'm here to do, with your assistance, Shafiq, and with your indulgence, is to clarify that I am not involved in any form of a scandal. I have no knowledge of what nonsense this person is speaking, because it is absolute nonsense.
So what exactly has he accused you of? I think listeners, it's only courteous to them to tell them, what exactly have you been accused of?
Look, I've read it like four times, the accusations. So he's not accusing me of stealing money. He's accusing me of hiding what? So I want to say that, look, whoever is saying I'm hiding this or that, please come on to the Voice of the Cape, Shafiq Montel and myself, and tell me what I'm hiding. Tell me. And then there is an accusation of me having given tenders to my brothers. And my brothers are so upset because my one brother is a plumber, the other brother is a carpenter, and they're asking me now, where are these tenders that the people are talking about? Because we have no clue what they are talking about. And people are asking us, and we know nothing. And this is one of the reasons why I'm here, because my mother and father were almost in the 80s, go to the masjid, and then the people, you know, want to ask them strange questions about their son.
Uh-huh.
And I'm here basically to defend the dignity of my mother and my father and my brothers and myself and my son, who just recently started as a doctor at the hospital. And people are asking, you know, we hear your father stole 120 million. Now, it's ridiculous that members of my family now have to be accosted by strangers to say that, look, what's going on here? And that is why I appreciate this so much, this opportunity for me to say, look, it's absolute rubbish, but we can't let it go, and therefore I'm going to acquire legal assistance.
Right.
But there's a process, because I was told this morning by the Chief Whip of Council that the council can only defend. They cannot instigate litigation.
Right.
because it's something to do with the Municipal Finance Management Act. Look, I'm very well versed with these concepts and these terms, but I'm not going to, bamboozle the listener with my eloquent vocabulary. I'm going to use normal language and say that, look, bottom line is the council can't just go and sue this person on my behalf, because that's not how it works. I'm going to have to institute private legal action, which I'm going to do,
right?
But which is going to cost money, and I have to ask myself, is it worthwhile? But before we get to that point, what I'm actually wanting to tell the Muslim community, look, I'm going to leave my phone number with Shafiq. I'm going to leave it at reception. I'm going to leave it wherever you want. I'm going to print 10,000 pamphlets and distribute it at every mosque with my name on, with my cell number on. You can contact me day or night, preferably not after 9, because that time I can normally go and sleep. But if you want to know anything, the Quran is very clear, man. There's a verse in the Quran in Surah Al-Hujarat, chapter 49, verse 6. It says, and this is what I want the community to note. The verse says, "O you who believe, if a wicked person comes to you with news, ascertain the truth."
Yeah.
"Ascertain the truth, lest you harm people unwittingly and afterwards become full of repentance of what you have done." Now that verse I want to focus on just for a minute, Shafi. I tell you why. There was a gentleman, Mr. Davids, not going to say his first name, who posted this fitna, the slander, on the Rondebosch community group chat. Now, the Rondebosch community group chat is supposed to focus on the needs of the Rondebosch community in terms of where they're breaking in, what happened. And this incident has got nothing to do with anything, but he found it necessary, this Mr. Davids, to post it on a community group chat. Now, let's say there's 1,000 families in the Rondebosch area who now may think that I stole this 120 million. So what I'm saying to this gentleman, man, look, you are now indebted to me.
Mm.
Why? Because you slandered me. And according to Islamic law, Allah does not forgive a slanderer until he seeks forgiveness from the one who he slanders. So those people who has posted this on community group chats, on mosque, believe it or not, Shafiq, my mother saw it on the mosque group chat in Gaidsville. If you posted this, you need to come and apologize to me, and you need to do it publicly. Because if you share it with maybe your brother, your sister, that doesn't matter. I'm not going to worry with that. But if you put it on a community chat or on a broader social media platform, then you are now indebted to me because you slandered me. And for that, I want reparations. Now, if you don't apologize to me publicly in this reality, I'm going to claim from you Salah and from your fast in the year after. Now, I don't want to do that. So what I'm saying to you is, think very carefully before you post something about someone that could constitute slander. Why? Because in our community, unfortunately, and I've grown up in this community my entire life, born and bred Cape Town, we think nothing of saying something about someone. We think, now, we have that while we're chewing on our kusista and drinking our tea. It's part of almost our culture. And it's a very bad part of our culture. The Prophet said, if you see something that someone does, make sure that you've got enough witnesses to back you up, or rather keep quiet.
Yeah, it has to be two witnesses. Yeah, two witnesses. So, looking at all the accusations, etc., against you of hiding, quote-unquote, 120 million rand, is there any kind of a paper trail? For example, if somebody says, yeah, but I believe Yahya did it, will you be able to show to the people that this is not the case?
Actually, this is where, unfortunately, I have to use a word that is disliked on radio. There is no paper trail. Do you know why? Because the entire thing is fictitious. There's no paper trail because the entire process is made up.
So has Mr. Pascoe been able to say so? He hasn't quoted it from any documents. We've been trying to find documents, but obviously we're not going to get them because some
because
of them
it doesn't exist.
All right.
Look, he says there's voice messages about me threatening people. Wallahi, please bring that voice message so I can hear myself threatening people, because I can be honest with you, I would love to hear them. I would love to see those documents.
Mm.
Because you know what? It doesn't exist. It's simply, now this is, I don't know if we can even term this as fitna or slander, because How do you deal with a situation that is created out of thin air? What do you call this? Superfitna?
Yeah, I mean, thin air is a very difficult entity to deal with. Yes, indeed.
I mean, it is just someone sat on a table and then he quotes a certain imam from a certain mosque that does, the imam doesn't exist and the mosque doesn't exist. Then he quotes from the auditor general things that don't exist. In other words, someone concocted something very sophisticated, which means there was the fullest of intention to slander me, to belittle me, to undermine me, and to humiliate me. Because if you look at the way the message is structured, it is structured in a very confusing manner. Because it seems as if what is being said is factual, but it's not, because it's based on nothing.
So if somebody wants to see the processes of the Municipal Public Accounts Committee, will they be able to look at the audited papers? Will they be able to trace something in terms of what he might be alleging in those documents?
Let me put it to you in ordinary language. I'm not going to use my verbose vocabulary to undermine the intelligence of the listener. I'm going to use very ordinary language. My position is extremely powerful. I'm the chairperson of the Municipal Public Accounts Committee. The full council and the city manager, the two sources, sends cases to us for investigation.
Right.
What I then do is, I establish, I've got 10 councillors that report to me in my committee. I then ask them to create what is commonly called a task team. A task team normally consists of 5 councillors. The EFF is represented there, GUD is represented there, the ANC is represented there, and the DA is represented, as well as the Cape Muslim Congress. Then what happens is these 5 councillors take this matter that I refer to their committee, and they do an investigation. That investigation could have long-term ramifications. People can go to prison. People can lose their pensions. People can lose their jobs. Because what we're doing here is a deep investigation.
Was Malusi Boy found out by this particular committee?
Look, that case never came to MPAC. Because, as you can see, even the police now have withdrawn the case. Because for further investigation. Now, that case, and look, MPAC does not work on allegations. You can't come and find me in the mall and say, look, I got some information for you on the side here. It has to come through the city manager's office or the full council that refers a case to me. I'm not the guy that you're going to see along in the hard way and then say, listen here, I know about corruption in the city. No, it doesn't work like that. We are very professional. And we are very organized and we are very skilled people. I mean, I've got people that sat on MPAC that were bank managers, that type of people, people with 2 or 3 degrees. So anyway, the point is, once the task team takes the investigation, they then return with their investigation to me. And I sign off on the investigation. When I sign off on the investigation, it goes to legal compliance. Legal compliance verifies that it is legally certifiable. It goes to the chief whip's office who signs off, and then it goes to the full council for ratification. Once it's been ratified by the full council, all MPAC matters goes from green to white, which means it's publicly available for all members of the public.
Right.
So if you've got a problem or allegation or suspicion or you want to point a finger, all MPAC documentations are available for scrutiny. There's no need for you to accuse anyone of hiding anything because everything is already out in the open.
Right.
That is why I used the word BS earlier on.
Okay, Councillor Yach Adams, we're going to leave it there. As I say, we did try to get hold of Grant Pascoe earlier. Danielle was not successful to see what he had to say. Councillor Yahya Adams for the Cape Muslim Congress and also chairperson of the Cape Town Municipal Public Accounts Committee, accused of hiding 120 million rand. That's a big hide. But Councillor Yahya Adams, thanks for joining us. Everything of the best going forward.
Yeah, Shafiq, I wanted to say thank you to you, but also I wanted to warn the Muslim community. Remember, the Day of Judgment is going to be 50,000 years. Everything will be sorted out there. You don't want to come there with all your salah and all your fast, and then I have to give it away because you slandered someone. Avoid slander unless you are absolutely certain, and then double check it again. But all those people who posted it on community group chats and further on, you need to contact me and come and apologize publicly, because I'm definitely going to claim, because you have slandered me, and I'm absolutely, completely innocent. Alhamdulillah.